My name is Elliot Babylonia, and I'm interviewing John Jarema in the Bronx, New York, through Zoom on July 14th of 2022. Do you give me permission to record and make public this oral history?
Yes.
All right. As a quick reminder, I'm going to let you know, you don't have to answer any question that makes you feel uncomfortable or uneasy. Just do whatever makes you comfortable. Now, I would like you to share as much basic information as you are willing to share. Can I get your first and last name?
John Jarema.
Your age?
17.
The school you are currently attending or will soon be attending?
I will be attending Binghamton University in the fall.
The neighborhood that you are living in?
Austin.
Where were you born?
The United States.
What is your ethnic origin? Ethnic identity.
Hispanic, right? Is that Latino? I don't know. Some of those.
Yeah, that works. Now, my first question for you is, if I were to live an average week in your community, what would I experience? Like, whether that be living in the United States, living specifically in Austining, just living maybe in your shoes as a, Latino male, just what would I experience, living in your community?
I mean, you wouldn't really experience much. There isn't a lot happening here in Austining. I think that's mainly asking about Austining because it's a community, your community. The only thing that really happens in Austining is maybe stuff that goes down at the public library or the rec center or parks. But besides that, there isn't really a big community-based like events or stuff like that. Or there's mainly the stuff that happens at certain locations.
And do you feel like your identity makes it different living in Austining compared to those in different communities?
Well, Austining is predominantly Hispanic. It's almost roughly 60-70% Hispanics, specifically more Ecuadorian based. So typically you're able to go anywhere and be able to talk to anyone, and I guess maybe find something if you want to do, but there's really no barrier besides possibly a language barrier you may experience, there's no really big barrier, I guess you could say, or something that hinders you being this ethnicity or this ethnic identity.
A beautiful thing about living in New York is that we really are the melting pot. It's very diverse here, and oftentimes, whether we are the minority in a community or not, a lot of people are open-minded, and we can still find, our community, and we can still find those who we share similar experiences to and have similar identities to us. I find that beautiful. And I find that that's also similar with My Brother's Keeper, because similarly to your community, everyone in your community, in terms of your identity and just even in your surroundings, we're all living in New York. That's your community. That's what you got. That's what we all have in common. It's also My Brother's Keeper. We also share similar experiences, and we are all under the same community of, the New York umbrella. We are spread across, all the boroughs and upstate, all the different places upstate. That's a beautiful thing about living in New York. So how did that tie into you, discovering My Brother's Keeper, and how did you actually become involved at My Brother's Keeper?
How did I become involved in MBK? I joined the original explanation of why I joined, but the original reasoning of why I joined is because my friends wanted to, find something to do on, I think it was Wednesdays or Thursdays after school. I think, and then I feel like two of our friends are already in it, and like it was like pretty cool. Like there was a bunch of like trips that you could go on, movies you watch, conversations you have. And so basically, I guess that wraps into like what did I expect to get out of it? I think I expected to, one, be able to talk with my friends, but also probably make new ones because like you do a lot of talking in it. Probably miss some school because you got to go on hella trips, and but also the trips are mad cool. So, and probably just like I guess have like a place to hang out on Thursdays because there wasn't really a lot you could do freshman year because I joined a freshman year. I wasn't doing anything crazy back in freshman year besides like sports. So I just looked for clubs. So yeah, and also got joined because I needed clubs for college. So I was like, I'll take it. What if I put this on my application, and I did so.
The great thing about MBK is that it's not only college students, it's also high school students, and regardless of whatever grade you're in, it's like you can get involved at MBK at different branches of your life. And like some of them, I know there's even like people in MBK that work with middle schools, and I find that great because you're never too young to learn about things like this and to be exposed and work together with people that are, similar identities too. And that also just ties into, again, community. Just we're all young men of color, and we're also pretty young. We're the same age. I'm 17 too, so it just goes to show like MBK can impact us at such a young age and also carry on with us to our future to benefit us like years from now. So I want to know specifically, what was the impact that MBK had on your community?
The impact of MEK on my community is probably can be linked. Well, for one, it probably impacts the people that are in it, because you get to have certain conversations. It's a place to also hang out with your friends, stuff like that. You go on trips, so I think it's a really good time where people can connect, and also it's also a fun time. And specifically on the community overall, I would say that there has been certain programs that they've worked with or they have created in order to help out the community, such as I know that there's this one called Homo Run Against Drugs that they sometimes work with, and that I worked with for my internship. And that basically we made a garden in the thing in the Brookside, I think that's like a first second grade school, like first through second grade. And I guess they had like I guess from there they were able to like have access to healthy options, and also just a garden to where they can keep on producing these vegetables and stuff like that. But I know they also worked within the past with past. I know they worked in the past with other fellows. Such as, I don't know the fellow's exact name, but they've done, specifically what they've done is they like picked up garbage around town. They've like shown kids like presentations on how to do certain stuff. I think some of them have like been tutoring, so stuff like that. So I know there's been a great impact overall in the community from just like the help that the fellows give back. And so yeah, that's basically the impact. I think there's very much else.
It's great that MBK, similarly to what you were saying, we're able to have conversations and really able to open our eyes to things that are happening in this world that impacts us, people like us. And whether that's positively or negatively, MBK, are actually like we're able to see successful young men of color, and we're able to actually work with them and speak to them and just build connections with them. And I find that a great thing that MBK has. And yeah, the trips are great. Like, despite, the COVID pandemic, we were not all virtual. We were actually able to like go outside, and it was deeper than that. I feel like there was always a lesson behind it. It wasn't just doing it to do it, but it actually benefited us, and gave us that nourishment that we needed. just being around people like us and just actually bonding and making friends too, you know, because we're all around the same age range. And with that being said, I want to know, how has My Brother's Keeper altered how you look at your identity and culture? And if it has altered it, then how?
Yeah, definitely MBK has altered my culture in the aspect that, or my identity, I guess, in that I kind of look at it differently from, I guess, what a lot of people, what I used to think about it, because I used to be kind of like, I guess, embarrassed. Mainly because you like the stuff you see on, like, I guess, the internet, and I guess that has a big influence. But through MBK, I guess, with certain trips, I remember we took this trip to the city where we looked at a library, I think. And basically this library was like filled with like stuff from like people of color, like history and stuff like that. And I guess that made me feel proud, or it opened my eyes. And so then I guess that made me intrigued into looking at, or looking further into stuff that's regarding like people of color like me. Because I do also remember that we used to like watch films. So I remember we watched this other film regarding like this lawyer and how he broke out certain people of color out of jail because they've been when they've been jailed, but it's not them. What is that called again? Like, it's misconducted, some shit like that. But yeah, that's that was a good, powerful movie. So yeah, I mean, I don't think I'm embarrassed anymore of like my identity. I do think that sometimes my culture can be a little bit, I guess, annoying, but that's mainly a lot because I'm surrounded by it a lot in where I live, like right now. Because like, as I said, it's also like 60 to 70% Hispanic, so there's like a bunch of Hispanics, but then a lot of them, I guess, don't ditch their old ways. Like, they do stuff in Ecuador like that probably isn't necessarily the greatest thing to do in the United States. But
can you elaborate more on that?
Like, I guess they like, I guess the foods they eat to some degree, like, I guess that's the same one for one, because like Ecuadorians eat hamsters. So I guess that could be a little disturbing coming to the United States. But I mean, it is just a food. So I mean, I don't know if it really that is that big of an issue, but I guess that's a little bit, as a kid, that was a little weird saying that out loud. Because like, you know, kids like hamsters, you know. I know that because I'm involved at the recreational center in Austin, and I know that certain Hispanics like run, or certain like, yeah, certain Hispanics run like programs that are kind of not necessarily allowed to be run. And I guess that, and they're also like basically using town property. And so not only are they like, you want to say it, not only are they like not like running it legally, they're also like hindering possible other programs that could be brought to like local parks and stuff like that, which what I mentioned before, like stuff happening at the community mainly happens at parks. That's the only things I could think of off the top of my head, but yeah, I'm not really like embarrassed of my culture or anything. It's pretty cool. I've been to Ecuador a few times, so I guess that also helps. So yeah,
I think it's always great to be in touch with your culture, especially, you know, like, if you have immigrant parents, it's easy to, you know, actually, like, say that you speak the language and, you know, like, you know our traditions and stuff. And, you know, similarly to what you were saying about eating hamsters, it's just, like, that's our cultural food. I mean, I don't want to say our, because I'm not Ecuadorian, but, like, you know, Hispanic, like, you know, we tend to eat things out of the ordinary. Compared to, like, you know, Americans, where they just eat burgers and fries and stuff. It's just, like, we eat animals all the time. So it's just, like, why is it weird that we're eating a hamster? Like, that's, what's the difference between a hamster and a pig? you know, a pork chop and hamster meat. You know, like, it's not much different.
Something. Also, I guess, issue at hand is that I'm pretty whitewashed. Mainly because my mom used to, like, babysit a lot. Oh, my mom, I think, still kind of babysits, like, a lot of, like, or, like, babysits, like, very, like, scarcely now, but, like, used to babysit a lot of white kids. And so then that influenced kind of, I guess, a lot of I guess the environment for one, to how, like, what I learned, and like what I grew up on. Because for one thing, like, although I'm a guy, and, like, you know, in guy culture, like, Hispanic is more chill, my parents are, like, really chill. Like, they're kind of like white parents. And I guess that's mainly because you got influenced by them. Like, I don't have a curfew, shit like that. I don't really got to tell her exactly where I'm going. I can text her. Like, it's not the same with my Hispanic friends. Like, they'll die if they do some shit like me. And I guess that's also a barrier with me, because, like, I guess I'm kind of different than my friends, because I've been like this since, like, middle school. And they're like, you know, like, how the fuck do you do that? And I'm like, bro, just leave. Like, what? I've never experienced this issue. But yeah, that's also, and I guess that also, me being whitewashed, I guess that's something how it made me embarrassed, like, early on, because I was pretty whitewashed. But yeah, I think that's what I wanted to say. So I guess that kind of influenced me being whitewashed.
It can be difficult at times, you know, living in America and being a whitewashed Hispanic, because if you're in America and you're Hispanic and you know, you're no Sabu kid, you don't speak Spanish, then you'll get teased for that. If you don't know certain, you know, cultural or traditions, and you don't follow them because you just weren't exposed to them because you're not in touch with that, then it's difficult and you're seen as, like, a gringo, or, you know, like, just whitewash, similarly to what you were saying. But then if you go to, you know, your native country, then they're gonna be like, you must live in a mansion if you live in New York, like, you must be rich. And they don't really know how it is. It can be really hard. I definitely see that. And yeah, how that, you know, alters your perception. And I think it's still great that, despite, you know, you feeling like you're whitewashed, that you're still able to keep intact with your identity and acknowledge it and be proud of it. I find that be a little bit difficult, and that's why MBK, it's great, because we can actually look at these, you know, at the adults in MBK, or the alumni that are now adults in MBK, or that, you know, were in MBK, and can actually say that, yeah, you know, he looks like me. He knows exactly what I'm talking about, because we don't have to really elaborate on certain experiences that we went through. Like, for example, we don't have to elaborate on what code switching is, because they know and they've experienced it, most likely. It's very refreshing and touching, just bonding with, you know, these adults that can share experiences, especially because, like, you know, they probably had it even harder than we did. So they're a little bit older than us, and, you know, the older generations, they tend to go through more than the younger generations because of, you know, all of the technological advancements and things that go on. And Gen Z, we're known to have an open mind compared to, you know, like, Gen X. And that's why I want to know more, maybe, on, is there any adults or mentors in MBK that you've been able to rely on? And if you have been able to rely on any adults, then how were you able to rely on them? And if not, then how can the MBK adults actually help and provide more supports for you?
I guess there's no mentor that I can rely on. Like, the mentors that, I went out to be busy, the mentor stuff like that. Like, I gotta really go. I guess that was one thing. Also, I think during COVID, I mean, the sophomore year was, like, all right, but I don't know. It wasn't really the best. But I guess a person I could rely on, I think I remember during COVID, I did connect a lot with the advisor, and I remember we had a deep conversation. We were both, like, struggling mentally and stuff like that. And I guess that really helped me out. And this one guy I can rely on. I
for like the fellowship thing. How do they support you? Support me? They've let me know about like possible opportunities like this. I've gotten a lot of advice from him, like about my college decision, stuff like that, what to do with my life. Because I remember one time I didn't want to go to college. I didn't know if that was the right option, rather. Besides that, I guess he's been like, I guess like a mentor to some degree. But yeah, no, that's about it. There's been pretty much, I guess it was mainly COVID, so a lot of it was like over online, so.
I remember you said that you plan to go to Binghamton this fall, and that your mentor helped you guide, you know, yourself, your and your future to the right track in terms of attending college. So, what is it that you want to pursue in college?
Majoring in information systems.
How specifically did your mentor help you, you know, be motivated to actually go to college and follow that track, whereas, you know, before you didn't want to until you spoke to your mentor?
Well, a lot of it was like realizing like I'd be like a grown up immediately, and like how like a lot of people like stress how fun college is and stuff like that. I guess, but also like what did he say specifically, like also how, you know, he specifically said like it's a good experience. It's not about what you learn. I mean, it's a lot of like how you learn and stuff like that. It's like how you apply yourself. You know, like that's a good place to learn how to do that. And also, like, yeah, I mean, a lot of it was extremely important. So, like, okay, like, let's say you don't go, but you're gonna enter the workforce like immediately. And I guess you'd be like 17 in the workforce. You know, like, I don't know. I don't know if that's necessarily what you want. But also, you mentioned like how possibly like I may not be old enough to go on my own yet. Or like be it, like the way we were both talking about like being like emotionally like not like completely like what do you want to say, emotionally. You want to say this emotionally, I guess, kind of like out of tune from like COVID and shit like that. Because like, yeah, like being by yourself is like pretty like, it's like isolating. I get like it's like kind of like a wake up call, I guess. But yeah, that's mainly it. That's really, I think that's my decision.
We really went from being sophomores in high school to now seniors entering, well, graduating from high school and entering college. It's a very out-of-body experience at times. And I feel like 17 specifically is an extremely difficult age to be, because you're right between being a teenager and an adult. And some people, they still don't take you seriously because you don't have enough experience. Oh, you're still a minor. You're not a real grown-up. You don't know what it's like. You're not really in that position yet, but at the same time, we're also entering college and we're trying to get a job. It's really difficult, you know, being at this age and feeling stuck between both worlds. It's very tricky, very hard. And I also find that, you know, college is always going to, you know, benefit us. Just having a degree, depending on what we want to like go to and go further in terms of our career, it's only going to benefit us. Although it does, you know, take time and effort, it's best to push ourselves to our limits. Even though you don't need to go to college to be successful, it's recommended that you do, depending on what field you want to pursue. And I find that talking to a lot of MBK fellows, a lot of us are attending college. I actually haven't spoken to an MBK fellow that is not going to college. I feel like that's a great thing, considering there's not a lot of, you know, like there's HBCUs, yeah, but there's not really a lot of colleges that are genuinely diverse. There's colleges that will say that they're diverse, but it's still predominantly white. So is that really diverse? No, you know. And it's great being all people of color and knowing that we're going to college and knowing that we're still going to make changes and be a leader for our community. And yeah, COVID definitely made it hard. Like, COVID was rough. Like, it really made it difficult to enjoy being in high school and enjoy MBK because of the limitations that it put on us. And also, it's just when you and I were juniors in high school, you know, 2020 to 2021, that's when COVID was truly at its peak. We had people catching COVID left and right, people dying left and right. How are we supposed to actually focus on our schoolwork and feel motivated with a global pandemic happening and no one's taking it seriously? There was also the, you know, uprise of the Black Lives Matter movement, where, of course, you know, Black Lives Matter movement has been around for longer than 2020. And, you know, for example, politically, the Black Panther Party has existed for many, many years. And just, for example, Barack Obama, we finally had a Black president. And, you know, people, to us and people like us, it means something. Even though, you know, like, Hispanic, it's rough being Hispanic because it's an ethnicity and not a race. You could really be Hispanic and be any race or be mixed, you know, we're very mixed. And we can still look at him and be like, yeah, you know, he's a brother. He's people like us, you know, he's a person of color just like we are. Having that, you know, representation. But then just seeing all of the, you know, racial reckoning that's going on, it's difficult. You know, it just goes to show that even though we, you know, me living in the Bronx, you living in Austin, we're surrounded by, you know, other Hispanics, it's still scary because when we're not surrounded by our people, we're not surrounded by our community, still lead to, you know, us experiencing a lot of, you know, racial tension. And so I want to know, you know, specifically, how has being a part of MBK in a moment of national racial reckoning, which is still occurring if you really think about it, created a sense of community, of support, and activism?
Created a sense of community or support of activism? You're asking about question 9, right?
Yes.
I think
it's okay, you can take your time, bro.
And then I'm trying to think back to that time when it was important.
You can even talk about it now because, you know, it's always happening.
Yeah, no, I'm just trying to think back to when did George Floyd die again? Like, back in, like, was it 20? It was 2020, right? Like, what month? It's during COVID, right?
I believe so.
It must have been because that's when everyone posted on their Instagram because they couldn't do protests. Yeah. So,
yes, he passed away in May of 2020.
May, yeah. Okay, but I don't really think. At the peak of COVID, there wasn't really meetings for MBK. I think we had one or like two, like near the end. There wasn't really an MBK meeting. Like, I don't remember attending one. Yeah, many of the after school programs are just shut down. Like, I don't even do them because a lot of them have to be like in person. I don't think we can really know what to do. Everybody was at home, but they didn't want to be going to another meeting at home, you know. I think there was like one or two meetings that we had. I guess it wasn't really a sense of community. I guess it was some degree of support. Because I think we did talk about it and stuff like that. It wasn't really activism. I guess it was support, I guess. Learning what's happening, stuff like that. I guess that could be a sense of community because we were all coming together to talk about it and stuff like that during that meeting. Besides that, you know, but, you know.
Really, So since there's not a lot that you remember, do you feel like MBK, or at least, you know, your chapter could have done more to address the injustice that was happening? And is still happening?
Well, it was prime COVID. So I don't know if they could have really done much more than just to come and talk about it during those meetings. Maybe in order to address the like maybe now. Well, I mean, I know there's a Black Lives Movement poster inside of the room that he's like my teacher. Me and MK advisor was teaching in, and like I think George Floyd is there as well, and he has a bunch of other posters too. But like, you know, like Malcolm X and stuff like that. But we do have like I'm gonna give it one. Yeah, I don't think there's anything more you could have done. I mean, of course you can do more now, but definitely not back then.
I agree that despite COVID and as COVID has been calming down, MBK has done a lot more in terms of providing us that support in current world events and for our identities. And since COVID has, you know, impacted our experience in MBK so drastically, how do you feel like the pandemic impacted your local MBK chapter and your overall experience in MBK?
Well, for one, like, the program really just didn't really meet as much because a lot of teachers are dealing with, like, computer stuff. Also, like, I guess something they didn't want to be on, like, they don't want to be in a computer again for, like, another hour after being, like, on it, like, 8 hours, like, 7 hours, you know. During the pandemic, like junior year, we did a few meetings, I think, as well. We didn't really go on trips anymore. Like, I guess the program really was at like a standstill, I guess you could say, during the pandemic until like late into junior year. So that's when they can like really started doing stuff, like started picking up again. But then again, the pandemic got worse. So then, but also to get to some degree, I guess, I was going through stuff personally, so I didn't really participate that crazy in it, like I used to. Now I guess a lot of the MBK advisors were struggling to some degree as well. Yeah, no, I think that's about it. Like, I guess the program just, like, really wasn't, like, really for, like, meeting that much. Or really, like, yeah, doing anything. Do I answer the question about my experience in MBK, like, during it?
Yeah.
I wasn't really there, and I was dealing with a lot of personal shit. I guess the experience is that I didn't really participate in the program. And a lot of people didn't really either. Like, a lot of people went through their own stuff, but also I guess quit MBK, I guess, to some degree. I guess, like, a lot of people that were originally there just didn't come back. But yeah, that's about it.
So you stated earlier that because of the pandemic, you haven't really been able to participate in MBK as much as you did before the pandemic. But
I participated OD like late juniors and then like seniors, but like I'm talking about like I wasn't like able to like during like junior year. I'm thinking like specifically junior year. My fault. I misworded that.
It's okay. So now that COVID has been dying down a lot more a lot of us are getting vaccinated. The, you know, the death rates and the contraction rates are not nearly as high as they were before. All of our engagement has, you know, risen as well along with that, because the more COVID dies down, the more MBK is able to do, and the more we're actually able to participate in MBK, because there's going to be more things going on with less outrage about a pandemic. So how do you feel like you've engaged with the MBK? And are there any ways for people that, you know, aren't an MBK or don't embrace certain parts of MBK to actually still be a part of it and begin embracing MBK and what we fight for and what our mission is?
Say that one more time. Is that a question?
Yeah. So
I didn't really catch the question. Sorry.
How do you engage with MBK? And are there any ways to be a part of the community of MBK without embracing the parts that you embrace of MBK?
Okay, yeah. I guess I engage with MBK now, like, I guess through this internship right here. Yeah, I'm not really in contact a lot with the MBK advisors as much. I don't got their numbers and stuff. I also couldn't say bye to them, I guess, at the end of the school year. But engage with MBK, it's mainly through this internship. Yeah, that's about it. Are there ways to be a part of the community without embracing the parts of MBK that... Are there other ways to be a part of the community without embracing the parts of MBK that you embrace? What? Are there other ways to be a part of this community without embracing the parts of MBK that you embrace? What does that even mean?
Yes, the question is a little bit tricky. I'd say that how can people be a part of MBK and benefit with what MBK fights for without actually being an MBK? Or if MBK didn't even exist, how can we actually fight for the mission and change that MBK has been hoping to bring and fighting for?
I guess anything that supports young people of color. I guess certain social political movements that push the agenda guarding people of color and stuff that occurs with them. But should we focus to MBK, I would say possibly just any programs that focus on, like, people of color. That's about it. And what are other ways, like, specifically, I guess, participate in some of the programs that help you? Because that's what mainly MBK is about, just helping and shaping the youth for the future. So whatever benefits you, like, academically, emotionally, physically, psychologically, religiously, I don't know, so just whatever betters you. But also, I guess another way would be to get in tune with your culture, so I guess be connected with more of your parents. I guess look at the news to some degree, and maybe do your own research, I guess, also. I think that's about it. Can't really, like, MBK is pretty simple. Nothing crazy.
So you have a lot of experience being an MBK ever since your freshman year. Now, you've said that you've participated a lot in MBK ever since your freshman year of high school, and that you've benefited a lot from the program with the events, the trips, the conversations that we have, and the mission of MBK. So I want to know, do you have a success story of MBK regarding yourself?
I guess a success story would be, like, I remember winning. We were doing a scavenger hunt at the original library that I, or like the, this like museum that we went to in the city. And I guess I
my career day, the scouting dinner with me and my friends, and I basically ultimately won it for us because I figured out like the last one that everybody was stuck on. I guess that was a little success story. And from then, like, I guess me and my friends, like, I guess me and us, we just had a lot of fun on the trip, and I guess that landed me like the group I'm in now, like 4 years later now, I'm still talking to all of them. It's that reinforced for the habit show like that. Maybe another small success story of me going to college, because I mean, I had the grades and everything. Like, what, I had internship clubs, IS, GPA, APs, everything, I guess you could say. Good letters, stuff like that. But yeah, no, I didn't know if that was what I wanted to do in life. A lot of people were pushing me to go there because they all knew I'm smart and stuff like that. But yeah, no, at one point I didn't know I was going to go to college. I was looking into like trade and stuff like that. But I guess ultimately through talking with a lot of people, like I talked to a hell of people, like outside family and friends, I just talked to a lot of people. I guess that influenced me to go to college. I'm not completely 100% sure because it's the right decision. I guess you can never be 100% sure, but I guess I'm okay with making the decision that with the information I had at the moment. So I'm gonna be fine with that, to have no regrets. And so yeah, but this is a big success story, like huge success story. I think I would give, I guess those two little successes are pretty big. I guess, but yeah, no. Really.
So, thank you for sharing your story, by the way. I find that very inspirational and very, you know, driven. Just showing how much one person can do in MBK and showing how much it benefits us in our future. And it's more than just extracurricular activities, you know, supported us mentally, emotionally, financially, academically. It's supported us in many different ways. So, I want to know, what specifically does your MBK program or the MBK programs that you are currently or in the past have participated in, what do they do really well?
Definitely the trips. I mean, bro, like, and like, I guess like bringing us all together, because bro, we've done like some pretty good things. Like, we've gone to Knicks games, we've gone to like the basketball team Knicks. We've gone to baseball games, we've gone to movies, we've gone to bowling, we've gone to museums, we've gone to libraries, we've gone to restaurants to experiment, to expose ourselves to foods. I guess events that they tell us about, like that they go to as well. And the events that we sometimes would have at school, like we would go to the library, like I guess, elaborate more, like African culture, yeah. We make presentations and stuff like that, and we'd be at the local library during a few periods. Don't think what else. I think that's really well. I think maybe a lot of the trips and like I guess bring us together. I think that's what they did really well. Yeah, I don't know, that's about it, yeah.
From being in MBK since your freshman year of high school to now continuing to participate in MBK, soon becoming a freshman in college, that's years worth of enrichment provided by MBK and years worth of trips and so many life-changing experiences that we wouldn't have been able to have if it weren't for MBK. Do you feel like, you know, MBK... Do you feel like you'll be able to continue using MBK in your future? And if so, what learnings or takeaways from MBK will you use going forward?
I don't really think I'm going to use much of MBK in my future, I think. And I can't really think of like a key learnings or takeaway. Oh, yes, I can. Maybe, but that was from Alfonso
Alfonso Davis, Dr. Alfonso Davis, that guy. I forgot what he said specifically, but I guess he helped me get out of a dark pit. So I know, like, now I guess a dark hole, whatever you want to call it.
Would you be willing to elaborate more on that?
Fuck, bro, I don't fucking remember what the hell he said. But I don't remember asking a question during one of the symposiums, I think, like, during junior year. And I guess, like, he answered my question. And he answered my question for, like, 3 to 5 minutes. I recorded it. I don't know if I still have the voice memo, but or the video. But yeah, that's some pretty good stuff. And I guess that helped me get out of a dark time. And I guess now knowing that it's possible to get out of a dark time, stuff like that, and how to avoid it. But yeah, no, I don't think about you and me became my future. It's not taking opportunities. Like key takeaway, like definitely like how to network, like this internship. Yeah, no, I don't. Besides this internship, I don't think I will be using really MBK going forward. Besides Dr. Alfonso Davis, like the experience of that. Besides that,
a story so meaningful and touching that you recorded from a symposium years ago just goes to show the impact of these leaders of MBK and those who are willing to share their stories to us and inspire us and motivate us so we can actually continue to then share our story. It shows just how much MBK has truly impacted our lives in many different ways. And although you are not going to use MBK much in your future, the skills that you gained from being an MBK are skills that you wouldn't have been able to work on from years otherwise, or that you would have to gain different ways or even later in your life. And it's great that we've been able to gain it so early in our life and make these connections and network like we weren't able to before. So now I want to know, how has MBK impacted your trajectory in different ways, whether that be your social life, your personality, academically, with the leadership or opportunities that they provide you, or even with your career?
You guys say socially allowed me to, I guess go to a place that I used to hang out with my friends, like freshman and like sophomore year. I guess find me a group that I'm still talking to. I don't think anything besides that. That's my friend. It's me and my friends at the group. I mean, I don't think any of them. None of them do them anymore. A big guy, like since like sophomore year. A few of them would come back, but mainly for the trips. But besides that, you know, they do it. But I mean, this is my friends, so I guess. Maybe help me like saw like freshman year, I guess. Personality. I'd say definitely not make me open, more open-minded with the conversations we've had. So I guess not be as judgmental. Academically, for one, going to college. Two, they also kept me sometimes in check if I was like struggling or some shit in like class and class or stuff like that. Yeah, that's about it. I don't really did anything academically besides the college thing. Leadership or opportunity, I guess you could say the internship that I had with Home Run Against Drugs to produce that garden. Helped me interact with kids, learn how to lead a team, making the garden and making decisions. The opportunity also would be.
Give me one moment. Okay. Yes?